Welcome to the Assemblée Dance Studio Coaching Podcast, the go-to podcast for all things dance studio ownership, growth, management, and more. I'm your host, Claire O'Shea, and I'm thrilled to be with you on this exciting journey. Whether you're a seasoned studio owner or just starting out, our mission is clear: to empower you with the knowledge, strategies, and inspiration needed to take your dance studio to new heights. From marketing mastery to team building brilliance, we cover it all. Each episode is packed with interviews from industry leaders, practical tips, and the kind of insider knowledge that can make a real difference. We understand the unique challenges you face, and we're here to support you every step of the way. And for an encore experience and exclusive extra content, make sure to subscribe to our members-only content on Apple or Spotify. Your journey to studio excellence just got even more exciting. So grab your headphones and get ready to dance into the world of business excellence. Assemblée isn't just a podcast. It's your exclusive backstage pass to the strategies, stories, and secrets that dance studio owners need to not only survive, but thrive. Let's jump in. Hey guys, it's Claire O'Shea here, and welcome back to another episode of the Assemblée Dance Studio Coaching Podcast. We are still, you know, at the start of a new year. So we thought now is a good time if you are new, or you might have been listening for a little while, but you might really not know the backstory into how I started the business, how long I've been going, and then I guess how I kind of transitioned into doing the podcast and the coaching side of my business and all the different elements. So we thought it was a good time to sort of reintroduce myself, share a little bit about, and I'm saying we because Mariah told me we should, but I'm happy to do it because obviously like I give the little tidbits as we go along, but this will just be a bit of an episode on to how I started my story and I guess also just kind of clear, like I'm over 10 years in now.
Yeah.
So it's not always a quick process. So if you're starting out, it might be reassuring to know, or maybe not, how long sometimes things can take. And then for those who've been in it a while, it just might be interesting to hear someone else's perspective or, you know, what you can relate to and what's really different to how you started your journey. So let's jump in all about how and why I started a dance studio. Alrighty, so
she's far. Where do we begin?
So I started dance class at I did start dance class at 2 years old. And basically like my sort of dance, I guess, background was I was in a very family friendly studio and the same studio my whole growing up experience and loved it. I was more I guess it would probably be considered more of a recreational studio. Like I did compete, but there was like a small group of us sort of. It wasn't a hugely competitive environment, which was really great. I had like a big emphasis on exams.
Yeah.
And then through who we did exams, there was like scholarship programs and stuff, which I got really into. I did do the group comps and solos and stuff for a while, but it wasn't my main focus. So that was sort of my journey all the way through. Nothing. I had injuries here and there, but nothing major. But I always had a interest in teaching. So I think about grade 9 or even grade 8, I started like helping with the little kids classes and that transitioned to then helping on like specific classes on a Saturday. And then I started doing my actual certificate through, you know, the RTO organizations and then got my teaching certificate through ATOD.
Yeah.
And then from there, finished school, started uni. So I moved to Brisbane. So it was about an hour and a half from where we lived. Mm-hmm. And so during that time, for a while, I would come back on the weekends and teach for my home studio. And then that just got a little bit tricky. So I was I started out at psychology at uni and then realized that was not my journey and moved into education pretty quickly. And then when I was in Brisbane, I worked for a couple of different studios casually, which was really, I think, good for me, particularly because I hadn't been anywhere else before.
Yeah. But
it taught me a lot about, you know, different types of leaders and different types of other teachers. Mm-hmm. And like I was taking classes at one of those studios because that's I have really good family friends that went there and that's kind of how that started. So then I was doing education and thought I guess I would be probably a primary school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking maybe like prep or grade one.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what the goal was.
Yeah.
And then one, I was going to say afternoon, but I don't actually remember the time of day. I was 19. And I was talking to my mum probably for the third time that day, like I always did. And she was like, oh my God, it's so funny. I was driving, you know, through this suburb and she like went down and saw like a community hall that she was like, oh, I think they've like chopped down a bush or something. I never realized it was there. And she's like, oh, I just like went and had a look. And I was like, oh, wouldn't it be a great dance studio? And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's nice. Oh, you know, if you ever started your own or whatever. And I was like, Mom, I'm in Brisbane. Like, what are you talking about? Like, no, I'm not doing that. And, yeah, that's pretty much all it took. And then I couldn't stop thinking about it. Like, I never thought – I don't know if I – I don't think I ever thought – like, I don't remember now, but I don't think, like, in high school, I was like, I'm going to own my own dance studio. And I don't think I thought that. I just thought I liked to teach and my goal was to be a school teacher. So I just don't – I don't think I'd ever thought about it. But, like, business ownership was, like, a part of my family because my dad had his business. Yeah. So it wasn't, like, a foreign concept. Yeah.
Did you ever be like, oh, I'd love to own my own business one day? Or did you like the business aspect or was it really, like, the teaching?
It was the teaching. Yeah. I don't think that the business thing was something I really thought about.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just thought like, oh, it will be so casual and easy to just start some casual dance classes. Yeah. Anyway, and then I couldn't stop thinking about it. I honestly don't fully remember from like the discussion that I had how long it was until I started. Yeah. Like I don't fully remember.
Yeah.
But I do know, for instance, then I sort of moved back with my parents. And I commuted to uni in Brisbane and I still taught in Brisbane and then I would commute back to live at home.
Yeah.
And then run my own classes.
Yeah.
I think I started like one night a week.
Yeah.
And then by the next term I had to do two nights because those classes were pretty much full or I couldn't fit any more in because I was hiring from a hall.
Yeah.
And then people were like, oh, you teach tap. Do you teach ballet?
Yeah.
And then I needed to add like another age group.
Yeah.
So then it sort of the first year it kind of grew from like, you know, one afternoon. I think I did like three afternoons or like kind of two and a half afternoons. And like the first concert I had like over 50 kids.
Wow.
And that was huge.
Yeah.
It was just
massive.
Me.
Yeah.
That's
jeez.
Big.
Yeah. That's so good.
Again, and not a lot of intentional marketing at that point.
Yeah.
There was a lot of free publicity because we were good at getting PR and it was 12 years ago now.
Yeah.
And so local papers and community things were still kind of a bit more relevant.
Yeah.
Where they're not around and also that's just impossible to get.
Yeah.
So the story of like 19-year-old having a crack was like a real positive community story that people wanted to
be a part
share
of.
About.
Yeah.
And so that was really helpful. And people were really supportive. And because I had such fear that people would figure out how young I was and like wouldn't trust me.
Mm.
But like it was like I thought I was like, oh my gosh, like no one knows how old I am. I look at photos. I'm like, I was a baby.
Yeah.
Like they would have known straight away. But now I look at it as such a positive. Like youth.
Yeah.
I was so motivated.
Yeah.
And I didn't have anything to stop me focusing on those kids. Or
yeah.
So that was really good. And then by the second year, again, I couldn't add too many more days because I was still going to uni.
Yeah.
But I could kind of the hall we were hiring from had like a second room, and they never used it at the same time as you.
Right.
I was like, oh, if I had another teacher, I could double
the class.
Yeah. Classes. So my first teacher that I hired was really, she was so amazing. And I still good, like keep in contact with her now. She lives interstate. So I don't see her very often, but she was so, it was like a really good introduction to having a first employee because she was older than me. And I was really worried that like people wouldn't take me seriously, but she was so, like so lovely and like was like kind of like respectful of the fact that like I was sort of the leader.
Yeah.
But also like was
would, she, like, she was a qualified school teacher and everything as well. Yeah. So she was really, like, warm and sharing, like, her knowledge and stuff with me, which was really great. And I think that year is also when I started working with Nina. So Nina was one of my first relief teachers at Tallara. Wow. I think I had, like, a uni exam or something that I needed to prepare for. Yeah. And Nina.
But did you side note. Were you at Tallara? I thought you were at, like, a Karramundi Hall.
So I was at Karramundi Hall, but in the second year I think I had Tallara on, like, a Tuesday. Like, oh. I think that was, like, the start of my Tuesday with Tallara. We had, like, a little pause for a few years, but that was when we started there.
Yeah.
I think, if I remember correctly, which is not always likely, Nina relieved at Tallara for the first time.
Just for context, Tallara is a school location that we have, still have to this day. Yeah.
So that was sort of that. And then from there, to be honest, it gets a little blurry.
Yeah.
Because it kind of all in the.
So then at what point did you then get the studio?
I think I was definitely over 100 students.
Yeah.
Do
you remember what year? Like, how long from when you started to when you got your studio?
So I started in 2013, and I'm pretty sure by 2015 we were in at Bull Cock Street.
Cool. So, like, a couple of years.
A couple of years.
Yeah.
Now, in hindsight, like, it was the right time because we're still there now, and so it's great. But now I'm like,
I could have kept going
And, again, you would have heard in other episodes, like, I think there's so much value in, like, the hiring per hour. You do miss of some elements, but again, the overheads and stuff with having a permanent lease is just huge.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not in America, but the real estate in Australia is known to be wildly expensive. Yeah. Like, the building I'm in would be worth, actually I probably shouldn't say, but it's so much money. Yeah. So that's why rent is, like, exorbitant.
Yeah.
And not again, like, landlords aren't ripping. It's just, like, it's just the going rate.
It's just how it is. Yeah.
Just crazy stuff where, again, depending where you are, obviously things are cheaper, so it might not be worth it. But, again, when I broke it down, like, per hour, I was like, oh, but anyway.
Yeah. So then you got your Caloundra studio. Yep.
And we did out of that. Yep. And it was actually a bit smaller than it is now because there was sort of a neighbour.
Yes.
That was a different part of my story because she was.
Could be a really funny episode.
Holy dooly. She crazy. Was the nightmare neighbour that you all. Everyone in their life has to have once at, like, in some way or another, whether it be near your house. But she was psychotic. Like, I'm not even – I like, it sounds like I'm being over the – like, she actually literally threatened to kill me. No, I'm being serious. You had to call the police multiple times.
Shivers.
Yeah. So I'm not even – like, when I'm saying she had serious – she has serious
She problems. Had serious issues.
Yeah. Anyway, so then we also had growth, like, she moved out, we took over her lease, blew out that side wall, so now we've got the two big studios plus the tiny little one. Over that time, like, a couple of teachers come to mind that just did not work. Like, I hired, like, I knew I wanted to get acro going. But I didn't have the qualifications yet, and I knew, like, I'd booked in to do it, but I couldn't start it, and then and then acro blew up and I needed, like, a second person. And my first teacher, Nathan Marie, the one that's so beautiful and brilliant, she was a really good acrobatics teacher.
Aww.
So we'd started it when she was there, and so when she needed to leave, it was like,
I need an acro.
So, and again, it was just, I learned something from every mistake.
Yeah.
And again, I've said and again. Times, I'm sorry. But, like, the teachers that I hired, they were all lovely people.
Yeah.
It was, like, they just weren't the right fit for our business or teaching or, again, the wrong transition from the previous teacher.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that – and then, like, I lost students and it was just – again, you're never going to keep everyone, but it was – yeah, I definitely learned from that about hiring when you are desperate.
Yes. So then at this point now, say you're, let's go, like, 2 years into having the studio.
We already did that.
Oh, did you?
Because we were, like, 2015, I leased, and then maybe a year or two after that, I blew out the wall. So maybe now we're in 2013, 2015. Maybe around 2017.
So how many teachers or like do you – nah.
I reckon maybe at that point there was maybe like six of us.
And did you have a full timetable like you do now? Like were you using pretty, every studio? Yeah,
pretty
like
much. Even
age
maybe,
groups. Yeah.
Even maybe more the small studio.
Yeah.
Where yep. now we don't use it as much because, it, again, you can't
yep.
make as much money.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, I've learned something with that in terms of like we're like, oh, it'll be a fine size. Yeah, no. It's not that good.
Yeah.
But it's – again, it's – fine.
Yes.
That's not great.
Yeah.
Like you'd be way better off having two slightly bigger big studios and not that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the size of our two main studios, so
yeah.
totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe like five or six. Crystal was already on board
yep.
for a while.
And our admin manager.
Yeah, so yep. she came on board when we literally – she saw us renovating
right.
Bullcock Street.
Yeah. And came in. Or yeah. like how did she come about?
She just applied. Like she, yeah. so she first started as
a teacher.
Yeah.
Which blows my mind because like I, when I
Crystal
started
doesn't
on board,
teach at all.
Crystal was like, I didn't even know she was a dancer or a dance teacher. I just knew her as like the admin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Crystal first started as a tap teacher. So, she taught a bit of jazz and stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Crystal
Yeah, I'm sure she is. I just yeah. did not see it.
But then pretty quickly she was like, oh, you know, if there's any other work and, you know, I'd love to cool. do it. And so then she sort of was doing all three. And yeah. then pretty maybe within like a year or two she'd sort of like cut back
yeah.
on teaching to do more admin. And then yeah. pretty soon after that, you know, there was a few other things and she'd sort of made it pretty clear that she'd prefer
yeah.
to do admin over yeah. everything. And, again – I had the capacity to take that on at the time.
Yeah.
It's not always possible.
Yeah.
And again, I could see what her strong suits were and it was mm-hmm. really beneficial her having that dance knowledge and that dance
yeah.
background. And there was times like, you know, being able to jump in as relief or at yeah. least kind of take a warm up or mark the role. Like she's not scared of children.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's sort of how that
yeah.
transitioned. And then from there as well, like I mentioned, we had started with the Talara. I had let it go for a while. And then I had kind of – I got into, like, learning and doing more, like, being mentored, in other business groups and met, like, my friend Jen and
yeah.
through another business group that we were in. And I really did see the benefit of having, like, a hub space plus different kind of little satellite locations.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we tested out the Talara method – and we did that just with Talara for a long time. And again, we didn't have our after school club like we do yeah. now. So it was very much like we are a dance studio just at a school hall in a slightly different location.
Yeah.
And then that adapted and we sort of tweaked that program and added an after school club and have rolled that out now to like eight schools
yeah.
and growing.
Yeah.
Um,
but then so backtrack.
Mm-hmm.
So then at what point did you get the studio manager? Like when were you like, oh, I need help? Or
Nicola was my first.
Yeah.
So that again, a lot of the stuff that's happened, it's happened organically.
Yeah.
Because either I saw potential in someone.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether that's a skill that I have. I think it's a skill yeah. that I have. Seeing someone and being like, huh.
They'd be good at that.
They'd be yeah. really good at that. Or like, you know, for instance, you.
Yeah.
I was like, I saw Mariah likes to go on YouTube and
yeah.
she likes doing social media.
Yeah.
I hate doing that.
Yeah. So ding.
Yeah.
Light bulb. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, okay, Mariah's really ambitious. Mariah already has a full time job, but is teaching outside of school.
Yeah.
Sorry, outside of work.
Job. Yeah.
And then also was running your own little side business.
Yeah.
So I was like, the concept of a side hustle was something that you were interested in.
Yeah.
And that motivated you. So
yeah.
So that with Nicola, it was different. I've told her this. When she first started, my gosh, she was
– what?
She was just like a crazy teenager. She had just turned 18 and
right.
she was like – she was – I just always – I still have a go at it. She was always sick because she was clubbing
yeah.
constantly and just up at all hours
yeah.
of who knows when. And I just remember being like, oh, she's a challenge, this one. Lol. Now,
yeah,
so different.
Full circle.
But what happened was like, so I think she started with me in
I don't know.
Maybe 2018 then.
Mm.
because she was just a teacher. She started as like a mat cover, I think, for Nina or
yeah, I'm pretty sure because I remember her saying it was Nina that got her through as well.
Yeah, so she was not just a teacher, but that was her sole responsibility. She was teaching casually at quite a few places.
Yeah.
And that's something that I don't enjoy.
Yeah.
So I was always looking to try and give her more hours and encourage her to come to me more. And then COVID hit.
Yeah.
So 2020 came in Australia. We had this initiative called JobKeeper.
Yeah.
And I had been told and advised when I had first started my business that everyone who worked for me should be an employee because that was the legal thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a lot of different ways people do things in Australia. Take your own advice. I'm not a lawyer or an accountant, but it proved to be the right method for me.
Yeah.
Because then when we went into COVID and had drastically lower income, I got JobKeeper, which was, again, was like
a money.
It was like a set payment per staff member if they worked for you for the majority of their hours, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're not from Australia, it's a bit confusing, but essentially the government kept businesses afloat. Like hardly any businesses actually went bust during COVID because of JobKeeper, and sometimes they went after, but I think I was getting more money than ever.
Yeah.
So the government paid me to pay my staff to do the work.
Yeah.
So I had still income coming in, reduced a lot, and then way less expenses.
Yeah.
Because everything was reduced.
Yeah.
And so because I had employed Nicola.
Yeah.
And she was a contractor at a few other places.
Yeah.
She could take like the whole subsidy through me.
Yeah.
And it didn't mean she had to do any more hours. So I think say she worked 8 hours. That's all she technically had to do to get this full-time wage.
Yeah.
But she said, oh, no, like because I think the maximum she could have done was like 30 something hours.
Yeah.
But she didn't have to legally.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, you don't have to. Everyone just has to. It was really confusing when we first started because no one really knew what was going on. But I was like, you don't have to do any more, but she had to do like the hours she had been doing.
Yeah.
But anyway, she was like, oh, well, I'd prefer to work for you and do more hours there and not do her retail.
Right.
Jobs. Yep. She kind of had to pick. She had to get JobKeeper from one or not the other.
Gotcha.
And then she was like, oh, well, if I'm already getting paid, I'm happy to do the maximum amount of hours.
Yeah.
She didn't have to. She could have done 10 hours a week.
Yeah.
But because she took it on, and one was so helpful and two was so eager to learn, we used that, I think, 6 or 8 or might have even been 12 months that we got JobKeeper. I essentially had a, 6 to 12 months, again, I can't remember specifically, of paid training for this person that I wouldn't have had.
Yeah.
And, we'll never get again. And so I've used that time to really get ahead that way.
Yeah.
And again, as it was happening, it wasn't something I don't think I was really intentional, but she had shown an interest. She'd matured a lot by then. And then again, she couldn't go out, so she wasn't getting sick.
Yeah, that's good.
And then we started focusing on like the other stuff.
Yep.
And then again, the next year it was her role plus this. And then the next year was that role plus that plus that plus that.
So it just kept growing. Yeah. And then the business, well, when everything got back up and going again.
Oh, yeah. It took a while.
It took a while to grow. But
part of me is like it's still a different business now than before COVID.
Yeah, wow.
I think psychologically
people are different.
People are different.
Yeah.
And I think something that's probably everyone's noticed.
Yeah.
Like numbers wise, we're way beyond what we were.
Yeah.
But I think people seem more transient now in their like buying behavior.
Yeah.
Than when we were younger. Yeah. But anyway, that's just a
thing. And then so you had Nick, we're out of COVID. And then we got some more schools coming on board at that point. And then in 2022, you bought your
childhood home studio. Yeah. So that was when I was like, I'm still very open to like starting new locations and trialing different ways of owning a business in general and what that looks like.
Yeah.
And I always, I'm open to the concept of franchising or getting proprietary, you know, intellectual property. And like I really think the only way to keep me entertained in this is to try new things.
Yeah.
I don't think – I'm not content doing the same thing year after year.
Yeah.
That's just not my personality. Yeah. And again, it doesn't mean – it's not because I necessarily want to see growth. Sometimes – and I've been very transparent with our team. I think financially at the moment, the size we are almost worse off than when we were smaller because we need more admin stuff to maintain. We almost have to blow past this next kind of barrier.
Yeah.
To kind of get back to being at a healthier business kind of function, if that makes sense. So even though I think in general people think, you know, more is more, sometimes more is less. So, yeah, I've always been interested. And I'm sorry, I'm not saying that specifically to the new studio I bought. I just mean it is a lot more time, effort, energy.
It's everything that you were doing but times two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or and more. Yeah. So, yeah. But again, that's what I mean. I'm not like against even buying a third studio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or starting, you know, finding a lease and starting somewhere new and doing that again.
Yeah.
It's I've learned something from every step. There's positives and negatives. And I think if you, at least if you go into it knowing or being aware, you know what to expect.
Yeah.
Or you, sorry, don't know, but you're more prepared.
Yeah. But then now, so now we're in 2024.
Holy mackerel. And in 2021, I had my first daughter.
Oh, yes, yes.
So I took
mat leave at
that point. And that was.
I don't think I was there then. When you,
not teaching?
No, 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 definitely teaching. Not, but I wasn't on marketing yet.
No.
No. I think it was the
year.
2022.
Yeah. And then you came on board full time last year. No.
No, I've been – this is my third year full-time. Oh,
well, then no, maybe – you definitely did marketing or social media.
For Assemblée maybe at that point in 2021.
When you did it very casually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know. Anyway, that's besides the point. I don't remember why I even started that conversation, but
– it's fine.
Yeah, no, I don't remember.
We're talking about mat leave.
Oh, so yeah,
I had
–
that was like my first kind of step back from the business, and I really – again, I think it's a hormonal thing, but like once I had my daughter, I was very like disinterested in running
a business.
But that
was also a personal time for you too.
We had a family tragedy at the same time. Yeah. So it was a really big time, but I also really am a huge – and I'll flag that in April to May, I'll be so – I will not – I'll be – I'll float the idea of selling. I went so earth mother and was like, oh my gosh, I could just – and it's so not my personality. Yeah. But I just mean like breastfeeding and having babies. It just like changes you. So you've really got to like roll with it.
Yeah.
And I remember talking to Jen. She's been like, yeah, just sit in it. Like it'll – it too probably will pass, but, you know, it might not.
Yeah.
And it might not for some people. Like I know people who've sold
– it could be your actual reason, Yeah.
But for me, I think – when Goldie was like 8 months old, I was like,
right, let's go.
Yeah. And to be honest, I was already back at work to some capacity.
Yeah.
By the time she was at least 4 months old, I think. Yeah. But not fully in. And I think I was there in body but not in spirit.
Yeah.
And so I know I'll go through that. But I think being prepared that I know, like I'm less concerned by it now.
Yeah.
But –
I get a text. I'm ready to sell. I'll be, oh, God.
Oh, there you go. Just settle down, lady. Wait till you wean. So that's sort of – that was like the big sort of first challenge, I guess, for me to step away.
Yeah.
And I think at that point I did notice that there was like less growth and stuff because even though I had someone maybe managing, it was sort of just managing the day-to-day.
Yeah.
There was no focus on – numbers or growth or team management.
Yeah.
So I think everyone was fine and everyone did a really good job, but there was no push from behind the scenes because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
And that's what will be different this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got a whole team, not just Nick and Crystal now. Last time that you were on mat leave.
I know. And that's sort of, again, why I've sort of been really open and honest with the team about being like, I'm not needed here to see this growth. Mm. Like this should happen without me.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a – so fast forward 2024, you know how – you now have 6 people on your management team.
Yep.
And 20-something teachers.
No, we've reduced.
What's it?
I think it's there's 18 including me.
Really? Okay, so like maybe
rad
and down.
Stuff is like going back to uni.
Yes.
So this is like semi-permanent yes. teachers.
Yeah.
There's like 18 of us.
Yeah.
But to be honest, again, I think it's almost better to have less yes. staff that doing work more hours just yeah. in terms of communication. Yeah. And it's not always possible.
Yeah.
But it's just sometimes it can be easier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have going into 10 locations this year.
That's a lot. That's great.
But like seriously, like from when you were 19 to now, like you wouldn't have ever thought.
No, I didn't even know that this type of business model was a thing.
No. And then that's just crazy to me. Like just within like whatever it is, 10 or 11 years. Of
this is going into our 12th year.
12th year. Like that. Yeah, that's just – it's and awesome.
Like 12 years, it does seem like a really long time because it is like a large chunk of my life because yeah. I started so young.
Yeah.
But it's also not a long time.
No.
But it is, but it's not. But anyway.
Yeah.
But
it's awesome, like seeing yeah. the growth from where it started.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm very, very proud of what we do. And again, like I think I touched on our subs episode the other week, like it's way easier to focus on all the things that you've learned and all your challenges and things you find hard versus all the things that you're, really proud of.
Yeah.
But overall, like, I'm very proud of what
we've
created.
100%. It's awesome. It's really, really cool. So especially here where we are.
Mm.
There's no other dance studio in our area at this magnitude from what I know.
Oh, yeah. And again, we don't know everyone.
No, I don't know the ins and the outs and stuff.
No, but again, there's no one who runs the same business model as we do.
No. That's sort of what I'm getting at. Yeah.
Yeah. There's people who've I think seen it and tried it and then not continue because we've also learned like these things, they take time.
Yeah.
And now we know the method and the trial process that works for us and like it's sort of on a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
And I think you do kind of get this like flow and that when other schools see how many other schools you're in, they get more comfortable for you to be in their school.
Yes.
And there's some schools who might go, oh, that's too many. How can they possibly do it?
Yeah.
It's like, well, we have 1,000 people helping us.
Yeah.
Extreme, but you know what I mean. So that's it.
So that's your journey up to this point and then you're about to have another beautiful baby.
Yep. In
2 months.
Yep.
And then we'll see where it goes next. Mm-hmm.
We've got lots of different plans.
Yeah.
Ideas, I guess, they'd probably be at this stage.
Yes.
Versus plans.
Yeah.
We
didn't really touch on Assemblée, but.
Oh, shivers.
It kind of happened in the mix.
Yeah, it definitely happened in the mix. So I guess just to kind of, briefly recap is like when I started like the teaching and I knew I was good at the teaching. I was like, oh, like owning a business is different to what I expect. I want to learn how and like. Bless my mum. I was like, I'll teach you. And she did teach me a lot, but I was very mindful like, oh, I don't know. I feel like there's, I was one of the first more on like Facebook groups and that type of thing. I just feel like websites are more where it's at.
Yeah.
Their mum and dad didn't even really have that because they didn't need it.
Yeah.
And then I was like going to business groups and becoming a part of like different communities and stuff. And then I just noticed it was like still a fair way into my ownership. I would have been... It's sort of been 5, 6, 7, maybe 8 years in.
Before COVID?
Before COVID, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it was.
Yeah.
I would just be getting a lot of people like reaching out and asking me like, oh, how did I do X or how did I do this or how did I create this handbook or blah, 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 blah. And I just kind of felt like I was at that point, I was sending like personal voice notes to people, like just all the time. And I was like, oh, and then I would like save my voice notes. And then I would tell someone, like, oh, like I sent this to someone else, but it sort of answers the same. Like, and I have them labeled like in my voice note thing.
Yeah.
And then I think I was already sort of starting to listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And then because I was so interested in like the business growth and personal development. I was like, oh, there's probably people out there. Well, they're asking me, so maybe they would pay for it too.
Yeah.
Oh, and it just got to a point where like I can only help so many people for free.
Yeah.
Without it fully overtaking
yeah.
my life.
Yeah.
So that's sort of yeah. how that started. Yeah. And again, that's had many iterations.
Yeah.
And I still don't think I've fully like lent into what mm-hmm. a Sombre could be mm. and that I want it to be. But I'm still definitely in my Dance Studio Owner era.
Yeah. Love that era. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's a little recap on Assemblé.
Yeah. That's just very.
Yeah. Brief. But yeah.
Yeah. We've done like masterminds and yeah. Courses. Yeah. We've always done the podcast yeah. in some way or another with like, you know, little gaps here and there.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about leaning into the paid membership.
Yeah.
Because I think one of my favorite things about what we do is the podcast yeah. and like knowing that it helps people is really, really a good feeling.
Yeah, 100%.
And again, spending so much time and focusing on like business growth and trying out new things, like it feels not a waste if I don't share it, but it feels good to share it. And some people always tell me like, oh, why are you sharing like this stuff for free and some people copy? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I just think it's never going to be exactly what we do.
Everyone's different.
And everyone will take whatever idea I say and apply
something.
Their own knowledge yeah. or their own experience or their own whatever to that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Perfect.
Amazing. Well, thank you for joining us for today. This one was a longie, as I like to say. But, again, it's pretty hard to wrap up 12 years.
Yeah. In. What, 15 minutes?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys next week. Bye for now.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of the Assemblé Dance Studio Coaching Podcast. Thank you for joining me, Claire O'Shea, on this inspiring journey into the heart of dance studio ownership. Hope you found today's insights valuable and actionable. To unlock even more exclusive content and enhance your journey, be sure to subscribe to our members-only content on Apple or Spotify. It's the next step to elevate your studio to extraordinary heights. Your dedication to your craft and business is what makes this community so incredible. So until next time, keep dancing, keep growing, and keep reaching for those studio dreams. Bye for now.